Welcome to another lazy podcast. Richard Coyne, welcome to another lazy podcast where I recruit an AI voice that sounds a bit like me to read the current entry for my weekly newsletter called Reflections on Technology, Media, and Culture. I cloned my voice with 11 Labs software. Here it is. Today is the 9th of June, 2026. Iterate that. Celestial orbits and the Earth's axial tilts contribute to variations in cyclical events. Seasons, tides, weather, usefully described as rhythms by Henri Lefebvre in his book Rhythm Analysis. Most music and human-animal movements, habits, practices, and social interactions involve rhythm, characterized by repeated cycles and counter-movements and complex overlays of cycles. Mere repetition, on the other hand, is mechanical. Every beat is the same, of whatever duration. I'm reviewing my entry for May 2014. Time and Tide, Wait for No One, number 199, in which I allude to such distinctions between rhythm and repetition. Elsewhere, I have elaborated on and challenged the framing that promotes this distinction. See my book, The Tuning of Place, and my posting, Tremble and Drift. By my reading of thinkers such as Nietzsche, Freud, Lacan, and Deleuze, the operative process in the human condition is just repetition, the eternal recurrence of the same, according to Nietzsche. Crudely put, there's no need to dress up the human condition with rhythmical complexity to make it more human. Revisiting repetition. As is my recent custom, I consulted ChatGPT for suggestions about revisiting my entry of May 2014. Apart from its usual encouraging words, it said, "Your 2014 post was concerned with the irreversibility of processes in nature, tides, growth, erosion, aging, seasonal cycles, and the way time leaves traces." Interestingly, I hadn't mentioned irreversibility or traces. The neural model probably inferred these from my text. The AI is presumably trained on a corpus of literature that assumes the obvious sentiment that time marches inexorably, there's no going back, move on. The thinkers to whom I referred above seem to operate in a different register. Time repeats. Events repeat. We revisit traumas repeatedly. A nervous child repeats a familiar tune for comfort. To refer, renew, review, recur, recall, rehearse, revise, render, replicate, all reference the moment of saying or doing again, the proverbial do-over. There's no space here to rehearse and rehabilitate repetition further. LLMs that repeat. But my interaction with the AI prompted me to think about repetition in large language models. LLMs. After all, they seem to replicate something of the human capacity for language, and with alarming competence. In such models, coherent sequences of words and parts of words from vast repositories of texts are fed to a neural network as inputs. Tiny adjustment to the network weights enable it to make a fair prediction of an output. That is what the next word would be in any given sequence from the original corpus. As its ability to predict the next word from one input improves, it may lose its predictive capabilities for other word inputs. The error rate across the whole corpus can be calculated. The entire corpus is fed to the network again as a series of inputs for further weight adjustments and the errors recalculated. So a large language model is trained by reading a corpus more than once. In fact, many times. The training data are passed through the neural network repeatedly. With each pass, the system makes predictions, measures errors, and adjusts billions of internal weights. The same data return again and again to produce an optimal balance of input-output performance. The model might have to repeat the process over 100,000 times, depending on the model. It's worth noting that it is not words or parts of words, tokens, that are fed into the neural network, but sequences of numbers, multidimensional vectors, calculated on the basis of how words relate to one another, their semantic encodings, how words are positioned in sentences, sequential encodings, and the attention each word might demand given the structure of various inputs, attentional encodings. As LLMs deal in tens of millions of words, texts need to be broken down into manageable chunks, particularly for calculations with sequential and attentional encodings. This is a variable context window of several thousand words that advances with each word encountered. Even with parallel processors and efficient techniques and algorithms, the computational load in training an LLM is immense. Conversational AI. The phase during which a user interacts with the model, providing prompts and effectively conversing with the model, draws on similar calculations. The words in my prompts and the generation of next word predictions will be consistent with the trained input-output model, even if my word sequences and their context are alien to the original corpus. During inference, the weights are fixed. The model still performs enormous numbers of computations. And with an advancing context window that includes my prompts and the AI's responses, but the model is no longer adapting to the text. It is processing. It is simply using the weights established during training to predict the next token. You could be excused for thinking that LLM models, such as ChatGPT, continue their training as you interact with them. ChatGPT seems to make ever more sophisticated inferences about me and my writing over numerous interactions. This is due in part to text recruited into the context window as needed according to retrieval augmented generation, RAG, and other techniques generated as conversation summaries, user profiles, notes, and if available, search results, calendars, and emails. Say it again. There are similarities and differences between LLMs and human cognitive and linguistic processes. However we humans learn, we continue to adjust and adapt. Our memories and language capabilities improve, diminish, or adjust, abetted by repeated exposure to linguistic events and contexts. We also repeat ourselves. I've said all of this before, perhaps in a different way. See my book, AI and Language in the Urban Context, Conversational Artificial Intelligence in Cities. I think that all I want to demonstrate with this reiteration of LLM processes is that algorithmic repetition applied to human-produced textual sources, the training corpus, generates surprisingly meaningful interactions. In my interactions with AI on this topic, it insisted on drawing parallels between LLM processes and hermeneutics. Analogies and metaphors were in play. After all, the AI had inferred, quote, "You are an architectural theorist and professor. You write a long-running blog. You have published books on technology, media, and cities. You frequently revisit and update earlier blog posts. You are interested in Heidegger, Gadamer, Levi-Strauss, AI, and urbanism." End quote. That's near enough. References. Coyne, Richard. The Tuning of Place. Sociable Spaces and Pervasive Digital Media. Coyne, Richard. AI and Language in the Urban Context. Conversational Artificial Intelligence in Cities. Nietzsche, Friedrich Wilhelm. Thus Spoke Zarathustra. A Book for Everyone and No One. That ends the current entry. Here's the one from the 31st of May, 2014. Time and tide wait for no one. Quote, rhythm is one of the most fundamental formal means of composition in classical music, poetry, and architecture. End quote, according to architectural law. Think of colonnades, window placement, stacked office floors, fence posts, and pylons. Repetition provides a tool of spatial organization. This much is obvious. Is it repetition that animates people's lives, or rhythm? In his book Rhythm Analysis, philosopher Henri Lefebvre says repetition is a mechanical process. As a neo-Marxist, he was bound to tilt his assertion towards the political. Capitalist machinery operates repetitively as it treats everything the same. On the other hand, there's the more organic phenomenon of rhythm, which takes account of the vagaries of context, involving variation and even memory, same versus different. Lefebvre offers the example of the rhythm of the waves on the sea, which is more than a mere repetition, as it involves counter-movements and complex overlays of movement. The sea moves according to a range of contextual factors, such as the shape and materials of the shore, the tides, and weather conditions, and of course the pull of the sun and moon. The body too operates rhythmically, as its movement depends on the body's size, shape, strength, condition, and context. Rhythm is a bit like repetition, but with modification. Every stroke need not be exactly the same. Alternatively, we could think of repetition as a diminished and reduced kind of rhythm. For Lefebvre, notions of difference are more important than sameness, and rhythm foregrounds difference. A few years ago, I visited Le Corbusier's Unité d'Habitation in Marseille. It's a modernist prototype of industrial-scale housing, and as such, falls within Lefebvre's idea of mechanistically ordered repetition. But like all good moderns, Le Corbusier had an eye on the organic and the natural order of things. The large plinth at the entrance to the Unité has cast within it a diagram of two half circles positioned along a horizon line, one the inverted form of the other, and with two lesser semicircles at either end. As I recall, the diagram is above head height and difficult to photograph. The diagram shows the rhythms of the 24-hour day, showing the sky and earth, and the rising and setting sun, apparently in recognition of the way human habitation is grounded in the diurnal cycles. There's a better casting at his Unité scheme at Firmin-Hiver, but I've not been there yet. Tilts. It seems that variation throughout the days and seasons is crucial for life to exist. Paleontologists say that life could not have started or developed were it not for the planetary tilts, pull of the moon, and orbits that provide daily and seasonal cycles of light, temperature, and tides. Organisms, which is to say life, seem to require variations and periodic oscillations between stress and comfort, which create the interstitial zones where life takes root. Variation is born of rhythm, of oscillations between conditions, and the oscillations in turn are enabled by irregularities, tilts, and eccentricities. I visited Lindisfarne last weekend, the site of the first Christian community in England. You have to time your visit to match the ebb and flow of the tides, which can vary by as much as an hour and a half from one day to the next. The overlaying of clock time over the natural cycle of the tides renders suitably strange and unfamiliar the visit of the average tourist or pilgrim. The car-bound visitor needs to regulate their journey according to a variable schedule, and there's even a hint of danger. Tilting provides a good metaphor to accompany rhythm. It's about looking awry. The OED, again, away from the straight, position or direction. To one side, obliquely, unevenly, crookedly, askew. Notes. The opening quote is from a book by Zonis and Lefebvre, not to be confused with Henri Lefebvre. The first image is of the pedestrian causeway at Cramond Island near Edinburgh. The last image is the causeway at Lindisfarne. Le Corbusier's diurnal cycle at Marseille is difficult to photograph as it's on the top of the plinth above head height. I explored the theme of rhythm in Coyne, Richard, 2010, the tuning of place, sociable spaces, and pervasive digital media. Cambridge, Massachusetts, MIT Press. The OED provides a long entry for tiding, which means simply something that happens. An early meaning suggests something that happens regularly as a custom or habit. A good or glad tiding is, of course, simply good news, good event, good habit. For a discussion of habits, see blog post, A Nation Addicted to Smartphones. Also see Ubiquitous Computing, Bibliography. Lefebvre, Henri, 2004. Rhythm Analysis, Space, Time, and Everyday Life. Palmer, Michaela, and Owain Jones, 2014. On Breathing and Geography, Explorations of Data, Sonifications of Time-Space Processes with Illustrating Examples from a Tidally Dynamic Landscape. Zonis, Alexander, and Leanne Lefebvre, 1986. Classical Architecture, The Poetics of Order. Ward, Peter D., and Donald Brownlee, 2000. Rare Earth. Why Complex Life is Uncommon in the Universe. That ends this audio recording. Thank you for your attention.